We're studying the prophecies of Daniel, and we've come down to chapter 11, verse 30. It says, "For the ships of Kittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved in return, and have indignation against the Holy Covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant." According to the ancient historian Josephus, the Hebrews referred to the islands to the west of them, out in the Mediterranean, as Kittim. And the ancient Greeks also referred to the capital city of Cyprus as Kittim. This is a reference to somebody successfully turning against the Roman Empire. And we know historically in the 5th century that the barbarian tribes of Europe and North Africa started to pummel the crumbling Western Empire of Rome. Now, most of these Gothic tribes didn't have ships, with one notable exception. The Vandals, who were headquartered in the city of Carthage, and who maintained what amounts to navy bases all over the Mediterranean. In the year 455, the Vandals began a relentless campaign against Rome, a campaign so vicious that to this day we still refer to people who destroy things as Vandals. Under the command of a guy named Genseric, the Vandals literally plundered the city of Rome for 2 straight weeks, stealing everything they could get their hands on, including the golden candlestick that Titus took from the temple in Jerusalem. Year after year, the various Gothic tribes kept up their assault on Rome until finally, in the year 476, the Roman Senate just gave up. They packed up all the official emblems of the imperial government and shipped them off to the Eastern Roman Empire because they figured there was no more point pretending to be in charge. The Western Roman Empire was finished, and today most historians date the collapse of Rome to the year 476 as a result of the Senate's decision. But even though the pagan Roman Empire had collapsed, the influence of Rome on Western civilization was far from over. Early in the 6th century, when the Emperor Justinian had made a permanent home in Constantinople, he effectively handed the keys of the Western Empire to the Bishop of Rome, officially declaring him to be head of all the holy churches. It was the beginning of a phenomenon known as Caesaropapism, a blending of church and state where the head of the church was assumed to also hold the reins of civil government. This, of course, led to a period of history full of embarrassing black eyes for Christianity, giving birth to stuff like the Office of the Inquisition and the Index of Prohibited Books. And so several times, Daniel makes reference to the Roman Empire standing in opposition to the Holy Covenant, even after Rome itself collapsed. And that's because our biggest problem as Christians over the centuries has been ourselves. It doesn't take a PhD in history to see how at certain points in history, organized Christianity was doing everything but adhering to the teachings of Jesus. And it's a clear warning for us as we head into the last few moments of this world's history. You'll often hear people warning about the rise of this Antichrist or that Antichrist, and we quickly point fingers at the present tide of secular humanism. But the biggest battlefield can sometimes be found right at home, inside the walls of the Christian church. Almost imperceptibly, Christians found themselves gradually turning against God's covenant, and that could easily happen again. That's why knowing what the covenant actually says really is a better way to live.